You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, the 12th of July, 2022, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, today I thought we would continue with our look at what is going on in the schools that we began yesterday, and it seems that there has been an inquiry into this, and the British government have actually got an education committee that is looking into these accusations of the sexualisation of children in schools. And the first article that we have here is to do with that. At least one 9-year-old was taught in detail about rape during sex education class, a British MP has told the country's education committee. So what they're referring to there is violence, which has obviously traumatised the child, but I should imagine that children are going to be pretty traumatised if they're told about homosexual sex at a young age. I mean, it's pretty yucky learning about sex before you understand what it is, before you've had your growth spurt anyway, let alone being taught about homosexual activity. And of course, if you're going to have everybody equal, if you're going to have equality between sexuality and gender, then that's the sort of thing that they're going to teach the children. A representative within the British Parliament has told the UK's Children Commissioner about an alleged case of a 9-year-old child being taught in detail about rape in school, something which the MP claims negatively affected the child. I guess another side to this is children are going to be coming across pornography online as well, and part of this drive to teach children about sex as young as possible is to somehow shield them from the negative effects of pornography. But once you've seen pornography, you can't unsee it. And there are even calls that they should show pornography to children, and to explain that sex isn't necessarily going to be like that. What happened to the innocence of childhood? We used to protect children from adult themes and adult content because we didn't want to corrupt them. Now we have 2-, 3-, 4-year-old children going to gay bars in order to see drag queens. We've somehow taken to actually showing them live adult entertainment and thinking that this is somehow good for a child, this is good for society. Miriam Cates, a representative from the UK's Conservative Party, made the claim during a sitting of the country's Education Committee last Tuesday after she brought up the issue of inappropriate sexual education in Parliament the previous week. And of course, we were talking yesterday about inappropriate sexual education, telling underage girls that they should be having anal sex if they wished to avoid getting pregnant, and that they most likely wouldn't get pregnant anyway if their partner pulled out. I mean, this is the complete opposite of what sexual education used to be like. They used to be encouraging people to take contraceptives. Now they're encouraging girls to use parts of their body for sex which weren't designed for it. Speaking in front of the committee, Cates said that her initial raising of the issue of sex education in Parliament had struck a chord with the general public, with a representative saying that she had since been overwhelmed by the number of individuals writing to her on the topic. And there's been a problem with this as well. Parents have been trying to get to have a look at the information that's being given to their children, and schools have been saying, well, we can't give you that because it's a third party that has provided it. So the parents are not even being able to look at the stuff that's being taught to their children. I dare say most of them are completely unaware of the guidance on transgenders about not telling the parents if the child starts presenting as the opposite gender. In particular, the MP described the case of one member of the public writing to her about the instance of a 9-year-old child coming home from school shaking, white as a sheet, because they've been taught in detail about rape. While Cates emphasised that at some point children need to know the reality of the world we live in and to be taught about how to keep themselves safe, she expressed severe concern as to the age appropriateness of what was being taught in schools to the Children's Commissioner. Of course, this is a bit different to the usual content that we end up talking about here. Usually it's the age appropriateness of the homosexual sexual education that is being taught to them. And of course, if you complain about that and say, well, it's not appropriate, it's taking away the child's innocence, it's encouraging them to experiment, you will be accused of being homophobic. But I cannot see how this can get passed, where they're teaching children about rape. Maybe perhaps they're trying to scare the children away from thinking that that's the sort of thing that people should do. But apparently this child found it extremely frightening. In response, the Commissioner, Rachel D'Souza, fully accepted the MP's concerns, saying that the age appropriateness of sex education in schools was absolutely critical, and that the horrendous examples previously raised by Cates needed to be looked into. But again, I'm sure that people will be accused of being homophobic for suggesting that children shouldn't be taught about homosexual activity. Furthermore, D'Souza hinted at the possibility of third-party organisations having a possible negative effect on children, with many schools outsourcing their sexual education to external groups for fear of not providing a sufficiently comprehensive education for students. We need to look at that, the commissioner emphasised. And that comes about from this drive for diversity. They want to be as diverse and inclusive as possible, and they want to get information on the various different genders, the various different sexualities. So they go to one of these groups, one of these charities that claim to be able to talk about this. And these charities are activist groups. They're LGBT activist groups, such as groups like Mermaids or Stonewall. And they will come into the school and they will teach the children that there are 100 different genders. They will teach them that if they like playing with girls' toys, they might really be a little girl, they might be a trans kid. And they encourage this, and they say that they want children to not be frightened to be themselves. And what they mean by that is they want children that might show males, for instance, that might be a little bit feminine, they want to encourage them to identify as homosexual. And of course, to be a homosexual, you have to be somebody that engages in homosexual acts, and that means that you have to be over 16. So how can these children know that they are homosexual unless they've actually carried out these acts? And there's an inconsistency there with with what a homosexual actually is, and then teaching that to children under the age of 16. And these third party groups, these so-called charities, they're activist groups. They're seeking to promote homosexuality and the homosexual lifestyle to children. I mean, this is why we have this concept of drag kids and trans kids. It's because this lifestyle is being promoted to children before they properly understand everything that is involved in it. D'Souza's promise to investigate the issue of sex education sometimes not being age appropriate in certain schools comes after Cates expressed concern last week as to the nature of some RSE lessons being taught in classrooms across Britain, which she feared could be graphic, extreme, and potentially even legitimising underage sex. Well, they are legitimising it. They are encouraging it. They're certainly encouraging children to experiment sexually, either on themselves or on others. And as we heard yesterday, they're getting them to use plasticine or Play-Doh models, which, as we were told yesterday, is child abuse, getting children to do things like that. The MP even raised one activity for schoolchildren, dreamt up by a third-party organisation, which would ask students to dream up potential sex acts between two partners. And this is the same organisation we were talking about yesterday. It's called the Proud Trust. This is an LGBTQ charity, which is asking children to dream up new potential sex acts between the same sex, obviously. The Proud Trust has produced a dice game encouraging children to discuss explicit sexual acts based on the roll of a dice, Kate's alleged. The six sides of the dice name different body parts, such as anus, vulva, penis, mouth, and objects. Two dice are thrown, and children must name a pleasurable sexual act that can take place between the two body parts, she continued. And the game is aimed at children of 13 and over. So they're even encouraging children to insert objects into their body to gain sexual pleasure. And of course, if you point out that that is perverse, you'll be accused of homophobia, won't you? I'm glad that this is now being investigated, that this is now being talked about, but how many parents know that this is actually going on? And on top of that, we also have all this anti-white teaching, this critical race theory, which is basically just being critical of white people. The head researcher of a watershed report into the imposition of so-called anti-racism training and critical race theory in British schools said that the movement is being heavily influenced by the far left in America, saying that children are being taught material peppered with the work of CRT luminaries Ibram X. Kendi and Robin DiAngelo. And of course, they want to eliminate whiteness. They are extremely anti-white. They are political activists. And yet their work is now being taught in schools. And the schools are supposed to be apolitical. They're not supposed to be biased in any way. But the information that's being given to the children is, of course, extreme far left, the so-called anti-racist teaching, which is basically anti-white. It's about eliminating whiteness. How do you think a white child feels being told that whiteness is a terrible thing and it needs to be eliminated? This week, the campaign group, Don't Divide Us, released research claiming that one in four councils in England and Wales, the majority of which were controlled by the Labour Party, are promoting a model of anti-racism which is based on division in their education policies and guidance. Because the whole idea of this so-called anti-racism is that everything has to be viewed through a racial lens. If there is any inequalities anywhere at all, then it must be down to racism. It must be down to white people either being privileged or white people oppressing blacks. There is no room in it whatsoever for there actually being any differences between people. And of course, there are as many differences between the people groups as there are between individuals. The study found that those councils which actually responded, with many refusing to abide by freedom of information requests, were conflating facts, opinions, and beliefs. The report said that ill-defined CRT concepts such as white privilege, unconscious bias, and structural racism were pervasive throughout the councils studied. So they're putting it across, the same as with this transgender stuff, they're putting across the most extreme left-wing belief and ideology as being a scientific fact. Structural racism, we've been told by the British government, does not exist in Britain. They did a big study into it, research into it, and they found that the differences that they were between groups were more likely to be brought about by other reasons rather than institutional racism, rather than the institution itself discriminating against black people or non-whites or anybody else other than white. And institutions nowadays are falling over themselves to discriminate against white people in favour of non-whites. I mean, it doesn't matter what we do. We're always going to be accused of structural racism, unconscious bias. And if there was, if everybody was all absolutely equal, I'm sure that there would still be that suspicion there that white people were discriminating against black. That suspicion is always going to be there when you have multiculturalism. That's what is at the fault here. This idea that all the different people groups should all be living together, and that all the different people groups are all exactly the same apart from a different skin color. That is the falsehood that is being promoted, that is right at the heart of all these problems. If the people groups just understood that, yes, they are a different people group, they're going to be good at different things, they're not going to be so good at different things, and yes, there will be inequalities just the same as there are inequalities between individuals. If people were to understand that, then they wouldn't be measuring themselves up against people that are different to them. And if you take the Chinese, for instance, take the Chinese with a very high average IQ, and then you compare them to one of the African countries that has a very low average IQ, and then if you say to them, well, they're both the same, they're all exactly the same, and then the Africans say, well, hang on a minute, we don't have the high paid jobs, we don't have many top paid scientists. What's going on here? The Chinese have lots of top paid scientists, lots of top paid jobs. It must be racism here. There must be discrimination here. And what's happening there is that the black Africans should not be measuring themselves up against the Chinese. The black Africans should be measuring themselves up against other black Africans. And then they would come to the conclusion, well, we don't have that many scientists because we have a lower average IQ, but we're better at other things. We're better at more physical things rather than intellectual things. Look at our achievements in sport. Look at our achievements basketball, in sprint. Look at our achievements in music with the different rhythms that we play and the different dances that we do. There are different things that different people groups are good at and different things that the different people groups are not so good at. And if you measure yourself up against somebody who is completely different to you, then you're going to find that there are differences there. But it's not down to discrimination. And the second, as I pointed out, the second part of this is multiculturalism. People are always going to be suspicious that they're being discriminated against if they're in a society that is made up of different people groups. If it was just made up of your own people group, then it wouldn't be possible for that suspicion to exist, that someone was discriminating against you because of your race. So that's the solution to this problem. That's the way that you get rid of racism, get rid of multiculturalism, and explain to people that there are differences between these groups. I mean, it's not that these are stereotypes or these are tropes or anything like that. The facts exist out there. You can look at the studies. You can look at the world IQ map, for instance, and you can see that in Africa, there are countries with an average IQ of 68. And in China, you've got places with an average IQ of 105. And in Europe, you get a fluctuating IQ as well. I think it fluctuates from something like 92 to 102. And these are the averages. It doesn't mean that everybody in that people group is going to have that IQ. It means that there will be some 20 points higher and there will be some 20 points lower. But the average is going to be different because people are different. If you put them all together in one area, and of course people groups compete against one another, then that territory is going to be pulling itself apart at the seams. And that is what we see happening. And that is why we have all these laws and all these resources that are put into trying to prevent racism, because they're effectively trying to hold together a completely unnatural situation. This group here, this Don't Divide Us, they say, we conclude that the model of anti-racism, which asserts that Britain is a systematically racist society, which automatically discriminates against racial minorities and denies the progress we have made in becoming a successful multicultural society, is being legitimized in schools through the reframing of equality policies. So they're saying through this disguise of trying to improve equality and trying to get rid of racism, what they're actually doing is accusing the British people of being racist and discriminating against white people. In an exclusive interview, the CEO of Don't Divide Us, Alka Siegel Cuthbert, said that the introduction of anti-racism education in Britain has been heavily influenced by America. noting that many of the training materials provided to schools are peppered with Ibrahim Kendi and Robin DiAngelo, two of the leading figures in the far-left CRT movement in the United States. So remember, this is a quarter of all British schools which have got this stuff going on there. And if you look up these names, if you look up Ibrahim X. Kendi, you find that he associates the Second Amendment with freedom to enslave black people. You find that he accuses conservatives trying to stop this stuff in schools, claiming that they're grooming children to become racist, when in actual fact this whole anti-racist ideology is being racist against white people. If you look up the other person there, Robin DiAngelo, you find the same. She's being paid $12,000 for a Zoom talk. Her work is being promoted in the National Health Service. The Scottish Government is embedding white privilege and woke ideology in national education. Also featuring Robin DiAngelo's work. Coca-Cola are featuring it. And all of it is teaching people that they need to abolish whiteness, and that white people have an unearned privilege, and that the reason why non-whites have different outcomes in society has only one reason, and that is white people oppressing them. Cuthbert, a former educator herself, said that the introduction of critical race theory in the classroom is hostile to freedom of speech. And it is, because it means that you cannot express your opinion if your opinion is different to the anti-racist one. If it's different to this anti-white one, then you'll be accused of incitement to hate if you say, well, this is not on, actually. I don't think white people are racist. I don't think they do discriminate against people. I think white people are the most charitable and hospitable people on the planet. Then you're going to be accused of being a hater for saying that, and for being a white supremacist. I mean, even this word itself, white supremacist, is a racialized word. It's an offensive word to white people. I mean, the equivalent of it would be to put the word black before a slur word, wouldn't it? And if you were to do that, then you would get accused of incitement to hate, because you would be using a racial slur. But apparently it's not a racial slur to refer to white people as white supremacists. Now, surely that shows that a system which includes that discrepancy is not a white supremacist system, is it? I mean, it may have a lot of white people that are involved in it, but they're maladaptive white people that are introducing policies that are harmful to the people group. Cuthbert said that CRT is often anti-educational because it encourages teachers to impose dogmatic principles rather than fostering an open inquiry for knowledge. It just states this is the way things are, white people are the bad guys, and that's it. There is no discussion. She also asserted that it is ultimately anti-democratic because it assumes that the majority white population in Britain is somehow privileged or part of a system of oppression. And of course, the most under-resourced group in Britain is the white working class. They're the ones that are not doing so well at university. And if anybody tries to make an endowment to a university specifically for the white working class, in the same way that Stormzy made an endowment to get black students into university, if anyone tries to do that for white students, the university won't take the money, and the person that's doing it will be accused of being a racist. And this happened last year or the year before. Alka said that, like in some states in America, many parents are deeply worried about the introduction of the far-left material in the classroom. But she noted that they don't really have a voice, and when they do try to raise it with schools, more often than not, they are treated rather contemptuously, and it is very difficult for them to get access to the materials. And that's to do with this third providers thing. And of course, this isn't just suddenly happening now. This has been going on for years. There's been a push to the left within the schools that's been going on for decades. And now it's gone so far that people are really shocked by the material that they're finding. If you go back 20 years, the Conservative Party had a policy where the homosexual lifestyle could not be taught to children. And once that was done away with, it meant that all sorts of things could be taught to children, and we end up with today where children are being encouraged to be transgender, children are being encouraged to be homosexual, the homosexual lifestyle has been completely normalized. And all of this stuff, when they were legalizing homosexuality, they were saying, we just want the freedom to love one another within our own homes. And it was, we just want the freedom to call ourselves married. We just want the freedom to teach our lifestyle to the children. And now it's, we just want the freedom to have the children coming into our gay clubs, dressing up as drag queens and dancing about. I mean, it only goes in one direction here. And there really should have been more pushback against this years ago rather than now. But at least now, as I say, it is now being discussed in Parliament with this this inquiry there by the Department of Education. And this study here has discovered that 25% of schools are promoting this anti-racist ideology, which is simply an anti-white ideology. She said, when I was trying to find out what the councils were endorsing, it is not immediately obvious on their websites. You have to know what you are looking for, and most of the parents won't know. The report focused heavily on the involvement of so-called third-party providers, with 88% of local councils pushing critical race theory-style curriculum being found to have partnered with outside groups to develop the coursework. One such organisation, the Equality Institute, published a white supremacy pyramid, with mass murder being at the top. So mass murder is at the top, and yet they're accusing the whole system as being white supremacist, and they're effectively saying that white people are mass murderers. Other organizations have argued that children as young as 3 years old are already aware of racial hierarchies. And we've talked about that before here. We talked about the studies that show that children show a preference for their own ethnic group, and how that gets misinterpreted as children as young as 3 years old are racist. And it goes back to as young as 6 months old that children will show a clear preference for wanting to be with their own people group. And that's just based on self-preservation. That's based on an instinct for survival, that you are going to be looked after better by your own people group than by another people group. And they never do studies on black children to see whether black children prefer to be with black parents. It's always just on the white children, and then they accuse them of being racist. Describing the current education landscape as a wild west, Alka said there have been a huge proliferation of third-party organisations, charities, small not-for-profits, and established charities as well, that are introducing elements of CRT, or active anti-racism. And nobody has any oversight over it. The local councils don't know. Many of them told us that it is up to the schools. And the government doesn't know either. So we have all these different organisations that are being funded by somebody. And of course, a lot of them are being funded by George Soros. They're being funded by BlackRock. They're being funded by these huge banks and huge corporations that are left-wing and progressive. And they help out these so-called charities to push this left-wing ideology, which also helps to divide people, doesn't it? I mean, that's what this organization is called, Don't Divide Us. But effectively, they're saying that white people cannot organize as white people in white countries, because, of course, white people are the majority. But they will encourage non-whites to organize because they know that that will divide the country. And when you have a divided country, it's less likely to provide any resistance to what's going on. We don't have a genuine opposition to what the government are promoting, because both Labour and the Conservative Party and the Liberal Democrats, they all promote diversity. They all promote this left-wing progressive agenda. And anybody that says, well, we don't agree with this and we want to form a political group, you'll get told, well, you can't, because you're excluding others and you're somehow discriminating against these other groups. And this is what Patriotic Alternative have been told. So we don't actually have a genuine opposition. And in a democracy, you're supposed to have an opposition. You're supposed to hear every voice. And this anti-racist idea has been used to silence genuine opposition and silence the genuine voices that are against the government. Therefore, Don't Divide Us has called on the government to mandate that schools list all the third-party providers of curriculum on their websites in order to allow parents to easily scrutinise those who are involved with their children's education. ALCA said that schools should also be required to provide all classroom materials to parents who request them, without question. Well, I think they should go further. I think they should ban this talk of whiteness and white guilt and white supremacy. They should say, well, that is offensive to white people to have these things being taught to them and being taught to their children. I mean, fair enough, the third party providers of curriculum should make their materials available, but they shouldn't be able to put materials in there which are going to be harmful to whites in the first place. ALCA said that while she believes there are some good qualities about schools, namely for socialisation, she recognised why many parents would want to homeschool their children in the face of the indoctrination which is occurring. And there's been a huge boom in homeschooling, and Patriotic Alternative do have lots of homeschooling materials on their website, which have been provided by teachers to try and give white children a healthy sense of identity and of who they are, and to encourage them to be the best people that they can be, rather than encouraging them to feel guilty for who they are. She said, if you had asked me a couple of years ago, I would have probably said not, but I can really understand why parents might do that today. If my kids were younger, I might consider it. And of course, then you've also got the issue that not all parents are up to the intellectual standards to be able to homeschool their children. I mean, it's great for the ones that are, but not everybody is. And a lot of people find the task of homeschooling to be rather daunting, and they do have to send their children to the schools. But of course, when the children are at the school, they're going to be indoctrinated with this anti-white ideology. What we really need is some pro-white schools. But of course, to do that, you need to have the money, and all the money and all the investment is being put into the left-wing progressive side. And any time anybody tries to set up a nationalist organisation, they end up being debanked and accused of being racist. But the facts are that people are now starting to ask questions about this, both the sexual side of it and the anti-racist side of it. And questions are being asked in Parliament, but somehow I doubt whether much more will be done about it than that. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion. Talk radio for the nationalist community.